How many of you would say it's been a long time since you sang that song? Anybody? You know what? I saw several hands there. You know, I knew the chorus really well. And then when I went, pulled up the words and I went to sing the verses, I'm like, oh, I don't remember the tune. So the other day I was over there pulling up on the internet, Whiter Than Snow, and then it came back to me. So if it had been a while for me, I thought it might have been a while for some of you as well. But a good old favorite. Turn with me this evening as we're going to go into a portion of God's Word to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. If you need help finding that, you can usually find in the middle of your Bible the book of Psalm. So turn with me, if you would, there to Psalm 119. It is a very long chapter. And so we will not be going through all of this. We're just going to be going through one section of Psalm 119. And we're going to begin in verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. It says, how can a young man keep his way pure? That is our question for this evening. How can a young man keep his way pure? We're really going to, while it's addressed or asking about a young man, it's really true for all of us. How can we be pure? How can we walk in such a way where we avoid sin, or where we can say, you know what, I am walking right? D.L. Moody once said, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Today we look into the book of Psalms in chapter 119. When you read the book of Psalms, you will often realize that the book of Psalms will deal with heart issues. The book preceding this, or following it, should I say, Proverbs is dealing with wisdom. And so often you'll hear preachers, my old preacher, Pastor Sears, would often say this, that he would every morning he would read out of the Psalms, and every evening he'd read out of Proverbs. That way he dealt with the heart and he dealt with wisdom. And so we're dealing with heart issues this evening in the book of Psalms. And we're looking at how do I stay pure? You know what? I don't think there's a person in here who won't struggle at some point with purity. In some form or fashion, we all struggle with how do I keep from sinning? What do I need to do? And so we're in Psalm 119, and this is an amazing chapter, okay? The Psalm 119, if you know, it's really, it's interesting. It's written in what we call an acrostic format. Now, we can't see this in our English Bibles, but if we were looking in Hebrew, you'd start to realize there are sections. If your Bible's like mine, you see just above verse 1, the word Aleph. If you go down above the verse 9, Beth. What happens there, those are all a letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and it's actually going in order. And so we have all these sections, the 22 sections. Each section has 8 verses. And so it's a unique breakdown. What else was pretty neat about it? Take the section we're in, Beth. Every sentence or every stanza of this, it actually begins with the letter Beth. Now, I don't know Hebrew, so I don't know what it looks like. In my head, I'm picturing a B, but I'm quite certain that's not what it looks like in Hebrew. But every stanza, every sentence there would begin with that letter. So you don't see this in your English. It doesn't come out the same way, but it means there's a natural breakdown for us. And so we'll be reading 8 verses from verse 9 all the way down to 16. And you say, why would they do that? Why was it broken down in this way? Well, if you remember what they would do as the Israelites, they would make their pilgrimages and they're heading back to Jerusalem and for the different feasts, they would go through and they would recite the Psalms. Often they would sing them. Can you think of a helpful tool to help them memorize? Such a way. They can remember, okay, everyone in this stanza starts with the letter A. Or we might put it to song. They had ones they'd put to song. Or perhaps there's other little tricks we'll use. It's a trick to help with memorization. And so this is why it's broken down this way. But when we consider this great chapter, really there is an emphasis on God's word. So I'm going to tell you the answer. The question in verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? I'm giving you the answer before we ever get there. It's found in God's word. It is found in spending time in God's word. That's the answer for us today. Hey, you say, how do you know this? Well, that's what this whole chapter is about. Alan Ross, in the Bible Knowledge Commentary, he had a breakdown of this for us. It says the word law is used 25 times in this chapter, and it means body of teaching. The word word is used 20 times, which means God's revelation. Saying 19 times, which is a synonym for word. Commandment 22 times, a definitive or authoritative command. Statutes 21 times, which are enacted laws. Judgment 23 times, or really a judicial decision that constitutes a precedent or a binding law. Precepts 21 times, injunctions, or in other words, commands and rulings. Testimony 23 times, a declaration of the will of God, generally ordinances that became God's standard of conduct. Way was used 11 times, which is a pattern of life marked out by God's law. And then the word path was used 5 times, which is a synonym for way. To say that there is a emphasis on God's word would be accurate. There is a great emphasis. This whole chapter is steeped in prayers and meditations on God's word. And so today there's no secret the answer to our question. Where are we going to find it? It is found in God's word. We stay pure through the word of God. But we're going to look at this more specifically. How can you stay pure is our question for today. And I'll give you a little trick. How are we getting all of our answers? Really, they're going to be found one in each verse. So we're going to go through each verse, all 8 of these. So normally a preacher like me does 3 points. We have 9 points this evening, okay? But my notes aren't as long as some, so we'll be all right. The first thing we see, look at verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? Let's work together on this tonight. What is the first thing we see? It's in verse 9. How is the first way we can stay pure? I don't normally do this. You guys get to participate tonight, all right? We're throwing you a curveball. How do we stay pure? What does verse 9 tell us? All right, by reading the word. Look at what it says. By guarding it according to your word. By guarding it. When you think of guard, if you're like me, I'm picturing some big, strong man. Or perhaps I'm picturing a big, mighty fortress. You guard it. In the middle of if you think of a big fortress, I love that song, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." When you think of that, you had the big walls, and they were the initial protection, but there was something even better. Inside was something called a keep. And in there, that was really where the safe place was, the keep. Where you would keep the treasures, where those who lived there, they would go inside of the keep if there was an attack or something. Because of the defense it had, it was usually super high, so much bigger. The picture here is, how are you going to keep his way pure? You are going to guard it. You're going to keep it. You're going to protect it at all costs. You're going to say, this is something that I am going to hold on to that is going to protect me. And so we guard God's word. We hold it. We keep it. It is that important. There's a trust that you're saying, you know what? I'm trusting God's word to bring deliverance. I'm trusting in his word to keep me. And so we guard his word or by guarding it according to his word. We're going to get a little more, though. Let's go to verse 10. The second thing we see in verse 10, it says, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. The first thing we saw was, how do we stay pure? By guarding the word of God. What does verse 10 tell us that we need to do? Seek him. That's right. We seek God. Seek me with your whole heart. You search the Bible and you're ready to obey all that God's word has command. And you will immediately begin to experience cleansing. And we could look today and we could see New Testament scriptures that would say this as well. If we would go to John 15:3, we'd see this also. What we see is there is a foundational commitment. Hey, God, I need to keep your word. I'm going to trust your word to protect me. But then you're going to seek the Lord. A commitment that is saying it's going to shape everything else in my life. Consider with me a few other verses, or one other. Psalm 63:1, and it says this. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. They're saying, Lord, I'm going to seek you. I'm going to find you. I want to know you. If you notice what it says in verse 10, though, it's not just that you're looking. It says, with my whole heart. With my whole being, all my passion. It's the idea, I'm going to put a great amount of effort into finding the Lord. I'm going to seek him intensely. But we can't miss the second part of this verse. As we're seeking God and we really want to know God, the psalmist says in verse 10, he says, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. It is one thing to say, God, I'm going to follow you. It's one thing to say, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm devoted to you. It is another thing entirely to actually do it. And so the psalmist is saying, Lord, I really want to know you. I want to find you. I want to understand you. I'm going to come after you. But then he's looking and he's saying, look, it's going to be hard for me to keep this promise. And so he's calling out to God and he's saying, I need your help for me to obey. When I'm seeking you, I need your help. I'm reminded in God's word that it's like Peter. Peter, when Jesus told him that he was going to deny him, he's going to betray him, and Peter, no, I won't do that. There's no way I'm going to do that. And you know the story. Peter denies Christ how many times? 3 times. It's one thing to say, I will never do this, or I will do this. It is another thing entirely to be able to do it. Think of when how many teens or kids they go to camp. You know, you think of with them, they come back from camp on a spiritual high. Oh, they've made some great commitments. Or perhaps at a missions conference, I'm going to go. I'm going to serve, Lord, wherever you want me to go. Maybe a revival service or other such emotional highs. We make these commitments. I'm going to do this. I'm on fire. How many times, though, do we struggle with the follow through? I think those decisions are genuine. I think when our young people come back from camps, that was a genuine desire. The follow through, though, is so hard. And that's what the psalmist is saying in verse 10. He says, with my whole heart I seek you. It's genuine. He wants this. He's desiring this. But he also realizes and he says, let me not wander from your commandments, saying, I need you, God, to fulfill this. I'm not going to be able to do this. I need you to do it. And so how are we going to stay pure? Well, the first thing is we're going to have to guard it. We're going to have to trust in his word, trust and just keep it with us. But the second thing, we need God. We truly need the Lord to help us, to do this for us. Well, he doesn't end there. Let's go on to verse 11. We're only on point number 3. It says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Perhaps you know it. If anybody's memorized this, I guarantee you've memorized this in the King James. How about this way? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. All right, so what's this point? How do we stay pure? Anybody see it? All right. By holding his word in our heart. This is really why you see the King James, thy word have I hid in my heart. You see in the ESV, I have stored up your word in my heart. I like perhaps the Holman Christian Standard Bibles, how it words it the best. It says, I have treasured up your word in my heart. Let God's word enter right into you. It not only has the power to cleanse you, but it has the power to keep you clean. The psalmist is saying, look, your word is going to do something for me. It's going to do something. And there's this natural progression. So in the first following, he's saying, I'm going to seek the Lord with all my heart. And the result of it is that you're going to hide it, that you're going to hold on to it dearly, that you are going to treasure it. When you treasure something, it holds a very special place. It'll order your steps. It'll order your thoughts. It'll change your actions. You know, I grew up in the Awana program. I know we used to have the Awana program here. And the Awana program, it is a great program. I love it. I still love it. My dad was an Awana commander for years. Our boys has been growing up in it. But I think often we get an idea stuck in our head that just on this verse, if I memorize scripture, in the future I won't sin. That's not exactly what this verse is saying. This verse is saying when you treasure God's word, when you treasure it, that I might not sin against you. It's, yes, memorization, of course, is wonderful, and we should all be memorizing it, but it's something else to treasure it. Hey, let me give you an illustration of what I mean. Several years ago, well, how old is Gavin? He's 9. So 9.5 years ago, my mother died. At my mother's funeral, there were several flower arrangements. And so the family's like, okay, any of us who want to go up on, and we can take flowers. Well, there happened to be these beautiful orchids. Just gorgeous. A little green vase. And it really caught my eye, several flowers in it. And I said, you know what, I'm going to keep these flowers. It meant a lot to me because they were at my mom's funeral. Well, I kept that orchid. You know, I had never grown flowers, let alone grown them inside. And so I kept that orchid and I immediately researched, how do I take care of this orchid? And so I learned. I stored it in the correct sunlight where it was not too much, but not too little. I gave it the proper amount of water and how you don't water it too often. So I knew about how much to water it and how often to water it. Had the correct sunlight. I pruned it as necessary. When the flowers fell, I'd cut it halfway and hold it up and so it would grow again. I would take pictures of it every year. Whenever it bloomed, I would take more pictures of it because I was proud of that. Until that day, I had never cared for flowers the way I did for these orchids. Never cared to. Never put in the time or effort to learn how to take care of them. But these flowers I did. You know why? What was it about these in particular? What it was is they were treasured by me. Because of it reminded me of my mother. I loved my mom. There are so many things about her that I still remember about my mother. And because of that, they were treasured. I learned things. I worked hard as a result to keep that orchid alive as long as I could. And the psalmist is saying the same way. He's saying, you treasure God's word because it will change you. When he treasured, and he says in verse 11, I have stored up your word. I have treasured your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When I've treasured it, when I value your word, as a result of this, it's going to lead me further and further away from sin. It'll change you. It changes your actions. It changes so much about your thinking and what you're going to do. And so we guard God's word. We seek God. We treasure or hold dearly to God's word. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Anybody have a guess? What is number 12? I guess this is our fourth point. Verse 12, should I say. What's the fourth thing that helps us to stay pure? It's a trick one. It's in the second half. Teach me your statutes. We learn his decrees. We learn his commandments. We learn his laws. Being humble, lowly, and submissive. And you notice the words, teach me. We must be like Mary in Luke 10:39, who's sitting at Jesus' feet. We must be like those who would sit around and learn. Just like I learned how to take care of that orchid, when we treasure God's word, the natural action would be like, Lord, show me. Lord, show me. I value it, show me. The psalmist here, he has a teachable spirit, but first he has a special place for God. Notice the praise that starts, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. And we should always desire to learn and grow more, but there is a proper special place before God and saying, God, I want to learn from you. I want to understand you, God. You're special. When we go to God and we praise him, and then requests come after. This is what the psalmist is getting at. Praise is first, and then request to know his word more. And we should always desire to learn more, to grow more. We will never fully arrive. My pastor, Pastor Ed Sears, you've heard that name probably even from Pastor Chambers. Pastor Ed Sears was one of the most well-read men I have ever met. I'll be honest, he had been a pastor for many years. Very intelligent, knew so much, and yet he was constantly reading. He would read at least a book a week. Now, I'm not to that level. But Pastor Sears was always learning, constantly reading and growing. Friend, no matter what age we are, we can still learn more. There's still for us more to understand. I fully believe that even when we are up in heaven, we're still going to be learning and being taught more and more. Probably even so much stuff in God's word that we just didn't even understand. I appreciate the stance this church has taken that encourages me to purchase books and go to a conference every year. There is a value in continuing to learn. And so the psalmist is saying, yeah, I want to guard. All right, I'm going to keep your word. I want to seek you and trust you to help me. I'm going to treasure your word so I don't sin. But Lord, teach me. Teach me. It's not enough that I just have a desire. I need to grow. Look at verse 13 and see our next one. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. All right, this one's a little tricky, so I'll say it for you. The next one is we declare God's laws. Oh, we're going to share it. We're going to speak it. We're going to use it to teach others. Declaring the truth of God's word in your daily walk and at your work, it'll help you to exert a cleansing, purifying influence from day to day. When you think about it, when you start saying stuff, the last thing you want to be called is a hypocrite. And when you start to say stuff and teach it, it means it's being internalized and you're starting to live it. And so you need a natural progression. Something that you learn should be something then that's coming out of your mouth. And there's several points that I noticed here that I thought would be good to point out. The psalmist is saying, I will declare or proclaim to your word the things I have learned. Think about it this way. The Great Commission in Matthew 28, we are to go into the world baptizing. We're to teach all. We're supposed to teach God's word. Or how about if we would go later in Scripture in the New Testament where we're told that the older ladies should be teaching the younger? Or how about if we go into Proverbs and we hear the instruction from a father to a son and saying, hear my words. Be attentive to my words. The psalmist, he's saying, I'm going to share all your words. And so we see here there. When we are truly internalizing, when we're truly loving it and growing and learning, it should naturally come out of our mouths. He says, notice not only that, he says, with my lips I declare all the rules. We can't neglect to teach. We can't neglect to teach everything there is. It means even the hard things. You know, sometimes this preacher here is going to hit and it's going to hurt. And it's not because I want to hurt. It's because when we teach God's word faithfully, those hard things are going to come up. We're going to get to a hard thing in just a minute. And so this isn't personal, but if it's hitting you, it's because it's God's word hitting you. We'll get there in a minute. But look at the last part. It says, all the rules of your mouth. It sounds a lot like 2 Timothy 3:16, the theos neustos, the God breathed. You think about the Bible, all scripture is given by inspiration, God breathed. These are the very words of God. The psalmist is saying, I'm going to declare your word, Lord. I'm going to declare scripture. I'm going to teach the Bible, the very inspired words. You know, I can get up here and I can give you some great speech. I can give you some compelling words, some encouraging and motivating words, but if it's not God's word, then it is not preaching. It is vanity. When I was a kid, there was a special that was sung in church one Sunday morning. And my dad, he looked at me and he told me, Matt, that was a popcorn song. What? What is a popcorn song? Well, a popcorn song is a song that is enjoyable, but there's not a lot there. Sometimes we have popcorn preachers, popcorn teachers, mentors. What we say is not necessarily, it's not that it's bad, but it has little value. What we need is God's word. We need to hear from God. We need to hear something that is biblical. And so when it says here, with my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. When we hide God's word in our heart, it becomes an abundant treasure of our heart. You've probably heard the saying that out of the abundant treasure of our hearts, the mouth speaks. If you have truly stored it up, if it's really treasured, you know what? It is going to come out in your speech. And the psalmist is saying, how can I hold this back? I have to speak your word, Lord, but it has to be all your words. We preach Christ. Let's continue on. We don't have too much time left. Let's get to our next point in verse 14. In the way of your testimony is I delight as much as in all riches. Anybody want to take a guess at what verse 14, how do we stay pure? Here we go. It's delighting in the Lord. Delighting in the Lord. We rejoice in God's word. We treasure it above all else. It is, as 1 Peter 1:25 tells us, it's abiding and enduring, because riches and possessions will fade away, but God's word is eternal. God's word abides at last. When we hide God's word in our hearts, when we treasure it, we will find abundant joy in the way of obedience. We're going to delight in it. We're going to desire it more than anything this world has to offer. We delight in his revealed word. We simply cannot commit ourselves to walk in the way of God's word. We must also rejoice in God's word. It means the commands that we are told to do, it's not cumbersome. We rejoice. When God tells us how to live, it is not a burden. It is something to rejoice. You think of Christ. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know, it's something that you can rejoice in, saying, I will take that. I'd willingly take this. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. That was Psalm 112:1. How about Psalm 119? A little bit further in our passage. Psalm 119, verses 33. It says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with all my heart. Lead me in the paths of your commandments, for I delight in it. Do you delight to follow what the Lord has taught? Do you delight to obey him? Do you rejoice in obedience? And we could even skip down in this passage. Look at verse 47. For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. Or how about verse 69? Verse 69, the insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. And we could go on and on and on. The psalmist, he's saying, look, it is a treasured. Again, he treasures God's word. He says it is so much better than anything this world can give me. There's rejoicing whenever we hear from God, whenever we can hear more about God. You know, I've said it several times. I've said it in a couple Sundays before I've gotten up and preach. I've said it this, and I know this because I've been listening to my past sermons this week. And I heard myself say this twice when I get up there and I say, what a joy it is to gather together in many places that can't. You know, as I've been saying that, it is really true. As verse 14 tells us, in the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. Gathering together and hearing from God is a reason to rejoice. It's a reason to be excited. If we truly value God's word, if we truly desire to hear from God, it leads us to this question. Why would we not want to be here as much as we can? When we love the Lord, when we love to hear his word, and we say it's greater than anything else, why would we not try, if we can possibly get to church, why would we not do it? I can't answer that for anybody else other than myself. Acts 2:46, it told us at Pentecost in that first church, and they were adding to their numbers daily, and it says, day by day they attended the temple together. Or how about in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, when it says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It finishes, more and more as you see the day approaching. Our churches in this country are anything, we're saying, let's do less and less. And we're removing services. We're removing days that we gather. And yet God's word says, you know, you should desire to want to be together more and more. Do we really delight in God's word? Do we really love it so much that we say this is better than a game of golf? I love to golf, so if you love to golf, I'm not knocking golfing. But is it better? I can't answer for you. I told you we were going to be a little hard today. Sorry. But additionally, if you love God and you value his word, why would you not spend time in it? We can read over and over again letters from a loved one or a grandchild or spouse or friend. I can spend a lot of time reading articles on the Ohio State Buckeyes or the Cleveland Indians. But we struggle often to be in God's word, don't we? Do we love his word? Do we find value in it? I have to tell you sometime about Josh McDowell in his book, God Breathed. A man who clearly had a passion for God's word. But we have two more points here before we finish. Verse 15, it says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your way. For time's sake, I'll just go ahead and share these. The next way we do this, way number seven, we meditate on God's word. We learn, we mark, we inwardly digest God's word. The psalmist is saying, spend time not just reading to read, spend time contemplating, considering his word. Consider his ways, okay? I fix my eyes on your ways. He's saying, look, if you really want to understand God, understand him, you're going to spend time in his word and you're going to think about it. A way you can word this, you're going to chew the cud, all right? Just bring it up over and over. What is he getting at? What is the point? What am I supposed to be learning here? How does one stay pure? You start to think and act according to God's way. And start thinking. So when we read God's word, don't just read it to check off, I read a passage today. Read for understanding. Read to say, you know what? Now I understand a little more about God and what he wants. To do so, though, You must truly spend time in his word. You must love his word to consider how would you respond. And so we finish in verse 16. It says, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. We have moved on from the psalmist saying, how can I stay pure? Here's the things that I need to do. And then in verse 16, he moves on. He's making a declaration. This is what I will do. I will delight in your statutes, your laws, and your rules, and I will not forget your word. He's making this declaration. The matter is really, he's saying, it is settled. The matter is settled. I will love your word. I will spend time learning your word. I will meditate on your word. I will follow your word. And finally, he says, and I will not forget your word. We must know God's word so well that we cannot forget it. We must know it and understand it so well that we will not lose sight of it. I mentioned earlier about my love for my mom, and I mentioned that orchid. To this day, I can still remember clearly my mother's face. I can still hear her voice. I can still tell you her favorite foods, her favorite hobbies. I can also tell you things that she didn't like. I will never forget my mother because she was such a big part of my life. Can we say the same thing for God and his word? That it is such an important part of our life that we can sit there and go, I will never forget your word. One of my favorite stories of all times, you probably know people like this. How many stories we know of somebody who's suffering from Alzheimer's or dementia and they're losing their mind, but if you go to them, quote this verse, and they'll all of a sudden they start quoting John 3:16. How is that possible? I think, one, I say that's the grace of God. But it's because they had such a love for God's word. How could they ever forget that? I definitely, it doesn't mean they didn't love you if they forget you. Like I said, it's the grace of God. But we should love it so much that you will never forget it. How can I stay pure? Friends, the answer is found in God's word. Love it. Hold on to it. Treasure it. Guard it. Meditate on it. Make it so important. And you know what? It's like the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your wonderful word. But Lord, as we see tonight, it is not always easy to follow through. And so, Lord, we ask you to teach us. We ask you to help us to remember your word. Guard our steps. Guide our ways. May we, Lord, love your word so much that it'll protect us from sin. So we thank you for the psalm this evening, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining with us. I hope to see you Sunday. If you need anything, let me know. Good night.